Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Looking for a smarter choice for dental implants? Meet the Contact Dental Implant System from Biotech Dental. Trusted by clinicians across Europe and now available in the US. With a single prosthetic connection, streamlined surgical kits, and seamless digital workflows, Contact makes every step easier. It's clinically proven, intuitively designed, and surprisingly affordable. See for yourself why more dentists are switching to Biotech Dental's Contact system. Visit biotechdentalusa.com today to learn more. That's biotechdentalusa.com.
Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast, a compassionate guide for those seeking to heal and thrive. Introducing your host, Monique Coven, a certified trauma recovery coach and fellow traveler on the path to healing. In this podcast, we will engage in heartfelt conversation with experts in the field of trauma healing. We'll explore ways to cultivate feeling safe in our bodies and in connection to others, so that we can be present to live the life we've been given more fully and with more joy. Join us as we navigate the way towards a life restored. Introducing your host, Monique Coven.
Hi, and welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast. My name is Dr. Mark McNear, and I will be with you today. I am honored to have with me Dr. Tian Dayton. She is a clinical psychologist, a senior fellow at the Meadows. She is the author of 15 books and so much more. She is an expert in trauma, addiction, and recovery. Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast, Tian.
I'm so glad to be here with you, Mark.
Circa Morano.
Yes.
You were introduced to her. I think it was New York.
New York City.
You took a class and you talk about an instruction that she gave you at the end of class. And I want to begin with that. It's a wonderful story.
Okay. So I got to Circa just to give you context. I had been doing psychodrama for years. Trained by Sharon Wegscheider-Cruz, who was trained by Virginia Satir, a family therapist. They did a form of role play and psychodrama that I was doing with clients. It was sculpturing primarily, and it was very successful with clients. We understood this is working for our client base. We're talking about maybe 40 years ago. We didn't know much about trauma. It hadn't come into the vernacular yet. But we knew this worked with addicts and ACAs and people who were codependent, et cetera, who we'd now call PTSD. What concerned me, Mark, was that there was such an intense catharsis. The intensity of it met the intensity of our inner world as traumatized people, but it overshot. And when we would leave these treatment weeks, which Sharon organized beautifully and put in treatment centers around the country, they would be too opened up. And this was, as you understand yourself, a dilemma. And I didn't really know what to do about it until my husband picked up this flyer in our mail and said, Tian, this is psycho and drama. This is everything you do. Because I had originally done creative drama with children in my 20s and then gone into psychology. So I ignored it. I didn't even read it. I had two little children at the time. It worked its way down to the bottom of the mail and up to the top. He picked it up again months later and said, Tian, this is in New York City. It is tomorrow. And you should check this out. This is who you are. So I did. My children each had play dates. This is the happenstance of it. And I walked into that conference in the Roosevelt Hotel, and it changed my life forever, my professional life. Sharon had changed my personal life and my professional life by introducing psychodrama, who understand how it was done by the creators. And Zirka became my mentor for the rest of her life. And that allowed me to become a real expert in what I do, to be honest, to be able to titrate it, to create the model we're talking about, relational trauma repair, sociometrics, to have a career that I could feel in not in control of, that's not the right word, but with a nuance and expertise over method. The moment you are talking about was I met two of my trainers at this conference, Bob Soroka, who did what he then called somatodramas, which was ahead of its time, body dramas, a sensing, understanding that trauma lives in the body before it was talked about in that way. And we broke out parts of the body and talked to them. He did, as a warm-up, something beyond hilarious. He had people talking to their stiff necks, to their sore bottoms. The hilarity of it all appealed to me. And then I walked into Zirka Moreno's room, the big name of the method. There were hundreds of people there. And there was this quiet, modest-looking woman, spoke softly, who captivated the entire group for however long it was. And she got us doing a guided imagery psychodramatically and giving the child within us something it longed for. I went into that so deeply, giving my little inner child, you know what I did? I just sat her in a chair and combed her hair. I gave her attention. And I was so in that, what we call a psychodramatic trance, that when she ended everything and told everybody to leave, I didn't even hear her. And the person sitting next to me said, Tian, you know. And so I remember coming out of it and realizing how profound that experience was. Dick Schwartz does a similar sort of internal family systems. You can do internal psychodrama. And because I was in this state of mind, and this is really what we're talking about, Mark, she said, okay, everyone, now it's time to leave and thank you for being here and so on. And then she said, no, wait, anybody can walk out of a room today, fly out. And I remember it was so completely unlike me, but I picked up my bag and my books and so on, and I just spread my wings and flew out of the room. And I felt completely okay doing it. And I think I have been flying out of that room ever since, because Zirka gave me a kind of a permission to not just be a very precise expert, which she taught me over the years in which I learned from her, but to be to ignite my own, what you called an autonomous healing center spirit. And psychodrama, that's the goal. Ignite creativity, spontaneity, and the autonomous healing center in each of us is a profoundly bottom-up, top-down method. And it is body, mind, and soul.
So you took those classes, and where did things go from there?
You know, the moment I found this method, here's really what happened. First of all, I signed up with Bob Soroka immediately. He was right in New York City. He trained, you know, it was accessible. He trained during the school day once again, so that could easily fit it into my mom part of my life. And I trained with Bob for the next, I think it was 8 to 10 years, weekly and a bit more. And then Zirka, I went to a 5-day retreat in Rhinebeck. And this is another story like this. I had done a book called Drama Games. It was in its last stage of editing. And Zirka, in this 5 days, and once again, it fit into my family life. I could go in the morning and come back at night from where we were at the time. I handed her the manuscript, it must have been. Yes, with the expectation, as if I was bringing colds to Newcastle, you know, just someday, if you ever have a moment, I'm doing this. She came the next day. And again, there were hundreds of people in this group. I mean, maybe not 200, 150, 200. And she was lecturing. And then she said, oh, and dear, I read your book last night. And there were a couple of typos, page 92, that I really enjoyed it. It's wonderful. Would you like to meet afterwards? Afterwards, she said, You know, I'm really quite a good editor. I edited all of Moreno's work. Would you like me to go over it for you and edit it? And what I did, I could no more say yes. Edit. I mean, there were plenty of editors with the publisher, but what I did do, because I recognized through listening to Zirka for 5 days, how ripped off Psychodrama had been. Fritz took the empty chair from Psychodrama and never gave credit. And Al Pesso took the method from Psychodrama, but people left out role reversal and the core features and did not give credit. And I saw him in New York, Virginia Satir, who had trained, learned Psychodrama from psychodramatists. I even know that story from Zirka, never gave credit. So that offended me so much because I'd already by this time fallen in love with Zirka and thought, this is too beautiful and this is too wrong. So I went through a book I'd never heard about Psychodrama till now and put the word Psychodrama and J.L. Moreno everywhere I could in the final edit. And so it appeared to psychodramatists as if I knew about Psychodrama in the writing of the book.
Yeah.
That wasn't it at all.
Yeah.
I just suddenly took up this mantle, maybe silly of me, but I couldn't help it. I felt they had given the world such a profound gift. And I committed at that point in my heart to continuing that gift, but being as generous with it and as true to the method and as acknowledging of its origins as they were. So generous.
So many people have heard of Psychodrama, but they don't know about it. Could you attempt to kind of paint a picture of what it looks like and where you go with it and include some of the like addiction stuff and just things that you work with?
Yes, and interrupt me anytime, Mark, because you're very astute, so jump in wherever you like. In its simplest, Psychodrama is a role-playing method developed turn of the century by J.L. Moreno, who is considered the father of group psychotherapy. Moreno felt that people were beings of action and needed an action-oriented therapy in order to heal the full body, mind, and spirit. He got his inspiration from watching children in the park in Vienna play, always taking on roles, reversing roles, working out their conflicts, their hurts through role play. This was one of his profound insights. Also, he developed group therapy. Do you want another funny little story?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it was all Freud at this moment in Vienna,
sure,
right?
Sure.
So Moreno, Montessori, all of my heroes, we're in Vienna, and I wish I had lived at this time in Vienna. And Moreno was an experimenter, right? And he saw Freud as, he once bumped into him in a conference. This is a famous conversation. And Freud said, I've heard about your work. What is it you do? And I think that was a rather generous thing of Freud. And Moreno being full of, some of what he used to call megalomania normalis, you tear their parts apart and put them back together again. You analyze their dreams. I give them the courage to dream again. And that is a much repeated couple of sentences.
I'm just going to ask you quick to repeat that. That is such a simple statement.
I wish I had it in front of me. Essentially, the idea was I pull their parts apart, give them the stage on which to experience themselves, let their parts speak, let their parts interact with each other, and then therefore reintegrate with greater healing. And you analyze their dreams. Now that's through words, right?
Mm-hmm.
I, through this profoundly embodied process, give them the courage to dream again. And in psychodrama, you always follow the lead of the protagonist. So you are not putting words in their heads. You're giving them the stage on which to find their own words. And that is one of the frequently made mistakes in psychodrama. And that's one that bugs me. Because the whole idea of psychodrama, and now what I've developed, a more trauma-informed version of psychodrama, is to let the stage, Marina said, the stage is enough. Pablo Neruda said, the poet, you know, we all need to dance our clumsy dance and sing our sorrowful song. We all need a stage on which to let our voices come out of us. We need to share our inner worlds. It is very critical that we do this. Yeah. This is what awakens the soul.
We're talking about the beginning for you of psychodrama. I'm curious as how you began to integrate it into some of the work with addiction. I'm going to quote you loosely. You know, I read this that you talk about the idea that when we grow up in homes with addiction, we essentially numb ourselves, that we can't feel, and it's adaptive at that point.
Exactly.
Later on, not so adaptive. And so I'm wondering how that works with psychodrama.
Well, that's easy because I found my voice through psychodrama. And mm-hmm. that was Sharon Wakeshider Cruz. I went to one of her 5-day retreats. We structured my family. They put Dad on a chair who was the alcoholic. I said, oh, I don't think he was on a chair. And she said, well, maybe simulation is addiction has a lot of power in the system. And then at one point, I was kind of getting annoyed or trying to talk to people. I'm very polite, right? I had never exercised this part of my voice. And they kind of handed me, they said, would you like to use a bataka? I suppose I started to get angry. And I sort of said, I don't think I can do that. And they said, well, that's okay. You don't have to, but try it if you want to. Here's a pillow if you want to. And I remember hitting the pillow a couple of times and then just wailing on it, just releasing decades of rage, anger. I mean, it felt more like anger, but rage that had not come out. And we're not talking about, you know, a long period of time. I'm probably, this is 2 minutes, but what it did for me was to change everything. I remember we were, in those days, we really had fun incorporated into the 5-day programs. Sharon was a great proponent of that, as am I. We did a skit. We danced at the end. So I'm saying that because I took on a role. I sang a song that was important to my mother, and I sang it in full voice. And my family can sing in full voice, but I hadn't. And I remember dancing. I remember somebody saying, do you want to dance? And I remember saying, no, I just want to dance by myself. And I'm kicking up my legs and jumping around. And the amount of energy that got released inside of me was just remarkable. And I went home. I was in a degree program and I just changed directions. I thought, this, I'm doing this forever. And my original thing was, this feels so good to me. I need to be around it 5 days a week. Therefore, I will learn to help other people. However, it was a few years before I realized, therefore, I need to help myself, right? I mean, that codependency, that fawning was so much a part of my psyche that the only way I could imagine giving myself what I needed was by giving it to others. But eventually, I understood the concept of.
Looking for a smarter choice for dental implants? Meet the Contact Dental Implant System from Biotech Dental. Trusted by clinicians across Europe and now available in the US. With a single prosthetic connection, streamlined surgical kits, and seamless digital workflows, Contact makes every step easier. It's clinically proven, intuitively designed, and surprisingly affordable. See for yourself why more dentists are switching to Biotech Dental's Contact System. Visit biotechdentalusa.com today to learn more. That's biotechdentalusa.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Self-care. So that gave me the understanding that this method treats whatever I have like no other method. This blows words out of the park. I had done therapy with words before, and it was wonderful, but it was nothing like this for releasing what I now understand to be complex trauma. Then, 4 years later, I bumped into psychodrama. And then it all fit together because I could correct the problems. You know, I was working as a therapist by now using this method. At this point, I was a therapist. I just changed direction. I know what I did. I changed directions and I added another like year to my program or 18 months. I didn't care at all. I just wanted to do this. So I was already working as a therapist and I worked for Sharon in her treatment weeks for years and was trained by her. And that's where I became aware of what more needed to happen. And when I found psychodrama, I became trained to get that to happen. Now, even psychodrama is not trained the way I was trained these days, because it's too far away from the creators. I learned a very classical form of the method, and I stand by that. I don't use things like scarves or props or things that are not part of psychodrama that now people think are, but they are not. Mm-hmm. They never were. The method is a very clean, very simple five element. You have the stage, the protagonist, the director, the people who play roles, and the group or audience. And that is, oh, I didn't tell that group story. I digressed. Do you want to hear the birth of?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Okay. So this is psychodrama. Those are the basis of psychodrama. And I will finish that sentence before I tell you the other one. And there are techniques. So we've got the five main elements, and there are the techniques of doubling, which is standing behind someone and speaking the inner life, that which they are not able to articulate from, say, this chair that I'm in. If you were my therapist and you were doing virtual psychodrama with me, you might say, Tiana, are you willing to stand behind your chair and double for what might be on the inside of you that isn't coming out from this role? So then I would drop down and get deeper. Other people can also double for you. The director can double for the protagonist. So that's doubling and role reversal. And this is what Zirka always referred to as the sine qua non of psychodrama, or that without which there is no true psychodrama, is reversing roles. What that does, Mark, this is what I have observed is key, because I did psychodrama without it for so many years. Psychodrama is too powerful a method not to use role reversal. What it does is empower you this role. And if it's rage-oriented, what it empowers is this rage and blame, right? That's the catharsis of every action. It's an important part of healing. You need to get it out of your body and out of your mind.
If I could interrupt you just one second. You had talked about the fact that psychodrama is so much different than talk therapy.
Yes.
And I think that's what you're talking about, that there's actually moving into different roles.
Oh, you are so good. It's a perfect little connection you've made. That's really very, very, yeah. Because that is where it varies from talk therapy. That's very good. That's great. That's the nexus. So when you do a role play and you do not reverse roles, and this, you're obviously saying, because this is a problem in any kind of therapy, that it overempowers the client and they don't get the idea of the other person's perspective. I have found that, and you're obviously finding it too, a real problem today in therapy. You empower somebody's point of view without ever introducing the other point of view. So you might strengthen the self, but you weaken the relationship, the capacity for relationship. So psychodrama with role reversal is automatic experiential embodied perspective taking. Reverse roles. Now I'm raging, if I'm blaming, I'm reversing roles. And I am seeing myself from the outside doing that. That's not analysis. That's direct experience. And then I have to say it's Tian raging at her mother or something like that. I reverse roles into my mother. I'm seeing me doing that. And I'm seeing it from the perspective of my mother. And what that does for me as Tian is allow me to stand for a moment in the shoes of my mother and experience me from the outside. It also has the interesting effect of being separating. You'd think people are scared to roll reverse because they're scared they don't have enough self to ever come back to it. Now, that's when I don't use roll reversal right away. I build the self first, slowly. However, what you find in going back and forth is that you strengthen, you re-enter the self with more awareness. And it also is freeing from the frozen relational dynamic that lives inside the psyche. Because as I stand in my mother's shoes, I recognize that what she delivered to me was not about me. It was about who she was. And that is a profoundly freeing concept. One thing I think we really miss with object relations theory, or misunderstanding the full part of object relationship theory, we internalize the full relational dynamic. We don't internalize the person. We internalize the relationship we had with them. Mm. And that is what we continue to reenact and play out and choose new people and go through life choosing my dysfunctional mother and trying to master that dysfunction or get rid of it by making it about a new person. So we're talking to the wrong person at the wrong place at the wrong time. Psychodrama lets us, through role surrogates, talk to the right person at the right place at the right time. I am Tian, the teenager who needs to say all this to my mother, who was then in her 40s or something. And I need to reverse roles with that mother and understand her plight at that moment and feel the difference between us. Don't necessarily get much out of talking to my mother today. It's a different time and place. Mm-hmm. The child in me needs to say it. And the child in me needs to unfreeze. And that's what you're referring to when you talked about how trauma shuts us down. That's how we lose touch with ourselves. All of these feelings through trauma freeze, and our nervous system freezes, and we carry that frozenness forever if we don't do something to intervene on it. And we just keep repeating on the same loop, the same loop, the same loop. Whereas psychodrama allows us to put that loop on the stage and then move through it, tear the parts apart, be as them, speak as them, move as them. That is in itself relieving and reintegrating. The model I've developed, relational trauma repair sociometrics, warms clients up to that. That is the other thing, that people do psychodrama too soon, too much, and too big. A lot of the healing needs to happen through what Moreno called sociometry. And that story I'm going to tell you connects to this too. So Moreno has a triadic system, psychodrama, sociometry, group psychotherapy. Psychodrama is what we've just talked about, the role-playing part. Sociometry is the group dynamic part. That is, he brings the dynamics out within any group or any family system or any world system like the internet and charts them on a piece of paper, and then concretizes them through his sociometrics. I love sociometrics, and I have taken it down the road through floor checks, my own sociometric, because his logogram and spectrogram are just fabulous. They're just not enough. So I created floor checks to address addiction treatment. In addiction treatment, we have oftentimes therapists who are overwhelmed, who have groups with a rolling admission. They know experiential therapy works the best. However, you can't just keep doing big psychodramas. It's too revving up. It also can be too much for the people in early sobriety. So floor checks, I model both on the 12-step program and Montessori. Montessori worked with a prepared environment, so she thought the teacher should be a catalyst between the child and the environment. And 12-step is healing through identification and co-regulation. So I combine those concepts and make my prepared environment, instead of a feeling check, how's everybody feeling, check in, where you lie, half the group is lying anyway, I'm great, I'm excited, I put them on the floor. It's harder to lie when you give somebody the choice. Choose a feeling you're experiencing right now, physically walk over to it, stand near it, now share about that feeling. Now what this does, if I can break it down for you, is provide choice. Trauma undermines choice, right? So I've got people on their feet, grounded in the room and making a choice. That's a big deal right away. They're choosing what relates for them, which feeling relates for them. So we're creating common ground because they're not the only one who's going to choose sad. Yeah. So then we've got the 12-step common ground, healing through identification. We have mapping possibilities. What happens in trauma, Mark, and you well already know this, the prefrontal cortex and the hippocampus dial down during traumatic moments while the limbic system upregulates. We need to fight, flee, freeze, or fawn to stay safe. As you were talking about, that's adaptive until it isn't. So when we do that, we are not thinking about what we're feeling. And we're not time stamping and creating context around what we're feeling, because the thinking mind, the prefrontal cortex, is downregulated. The hippocampus, where you would time stamp and create context, is downregulated. So while it allows us to get out of harm's way fast without thinking, you do not want to think about getting out of the way of a truck. You want to run out of the way. If no adult, say in a home with addiction, a home with trauma, a home that's overwhelmed, if nobody comes afterwards and says, darling, you look, you know, children freeze, right? If nobody helps you unfreeze that, it stays in, you know, little children, their shoulders hang up. Right? Mm-hmm. That's, they do this. And if nobody says, come on, let's sit over on my lap, now it takes time and it takes attention and it takes calm to create a safe enough lap so that child can then allow themselves to cry, allow themselves to say, why did I do that? And get, and it takes some ease of the self to allow them to be angry. Why did that happen? Why did daddy? Why did mom? All of that has to happen. And then the parent has to help them make sense of the feelings they shut down. And what alcoholic is going to say, come over and sit on my lap and you're going to feel safe sitting on their lap? Or what alcoholic the next day after a drunken rage is going to say, I'm so sorry I frightened you last night. I was drunk out of my mind. That doesn't happen in alcoholic families. The other parent is generally so overwhelmed and full of denial. They don't want to know what's happening. So they're going, honey, just get your books and get your, you know, just eat your breakfast and go out. You know, have a good day. That's the alcoholic home, if you're lucky. Because that happens repeatedly, it becomes complex post-traumatic stress. Complex meaning relational, meaning repeated over time. If we don't unfreeze those feelings that you were talking about earlier in childhood, and there's some intervention to help us, or some safe place we can go, a neighbor, a church, a synagogue, then we carry that into adulthood. That's the post part of post-traumatic stress. It lives, it surfaces decades later. And what are the triggers? In the same, I grew up in the Vietnam era. These guys would come home and they'd be in a Target parking lot and hear a car backfire and hit the ground, because suddenly the Target parking lot became the battlefield in Vietnam. Well, what's our battleground as ACAs? It's relationships. It's creating a family of our own. It's when we partner, when we parent. That's why I've written this book, and I'm just in editing now, Growing Up with Addiction. It's coming out March of next year with Sounds True. That's what I talk about. How we partner, how we are in the workplace, how we are in friendships because of this carried trauma. Because unless we unpack it in adulthood, we're going to repeat it.
So it's almost like it needs to be metabolized.
That's it.
Okay.
And in order to metabolize it, the easiest and most direct route, as you point out, is incorporating role reversal. And in order to do role reversal, you need to do it, but you don't need to do these huge psychodramas. That's why I did this model. I really, after maybe 15 years, understood this. You need to do the remapping. You need to do the role play. I break it down so it's safer and more manageable. The other thing I'm just recently thinking it does, many people with neurodiversity has become a big thing. And a lot of people with neurodiversity, apparently, according to Dr. Tony Meniere's, if I'm saying that right, have hippocampal lesions. Anyone who's been traumatized needs to find a method where they feel safe enough and it's a calm enough thing so that they can come to the surface, do their role play, do their sharing or whatever it is they do in a safe enough way without fear of retaliation, so that their thinking mind, their nervous system can calm down and their hippocampus can, all of those can come back on board and make new sense of the situation.
Okay, Tiana, it seems like with this modality, with psychodrama, it would help in some ways with fragmentation.
Yes, because you can talk to various parts of the self. You can talk to not only parts of the self, you can talk to other people. You can talk to experiences. Like one of the things that can happen in trauma is that you, because your limbic system is on high alert, you have all these sensory memories in your body, right?
Yeah.
Say you've been thrown down on the ground. You might not remember the act of being sexually abused as well as you remember the feeling of grass, you know, digging into your back or a twig. Yeah. So you can talk to these various fragments of memory. You can break them out into roles. You can talk to the part of yourself, for example, dissociation. You can talk to yourself. I might say to a client, where were you? And they, you know, they'll say on the ceiling or way over there. And I'll say, so who could play that part of you. Yeah. And show us on the stage, where would they be standing? What would you want to say to that part of you? Reverse roles, what do you want to say as that part of you back? And just by doing this, moving back and forth with role reversal, that part starts to come back towards the self and land back in the self. That would be an example.
As we come to a close, I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for spending this time. If people want to get in touch with you or find out more about you, how would they do that, Tian?
Come. And if they want to know more about the model, our relational trauma pair sociometrics, on the nav bar, it says relational trauma pair. Click it, and I've got another website just about that and how you can get a certificate. It's quite easy to learn and train in if you're a therapist and you're interested. And then I have books, some of the books that are about that, sociometrics and treating adult relational trauma on that. Right. And I have a lot of videotape.
And we will put some of that in the notes for the show.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. And again, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Mark. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Looking for a smarter choice for dental implants? Meet the Contact Dental Implant System from Biotech Dental. Trusted by clinicians across Europe and now available in the US. With a single prosthetic connection, streamlined surgical kits, and seamless digital workflows, Contact makes every step easier. It's clinically proven, intuitively designed, and surprisingly affordable. See for yourself why more dentists are switching to Biotech Dental's Contact System. Visit biotechdentalusa.com today to learn more. That's biotechdentalusa.com.